Before I get started, I want to say that I'm looking forward to having the pastor be here every week and preaching every week. So I'm not so sure if the pastor is excited about it, but I would like to encourage you to encourage the pastor by saying, "Thank you, Pastor. I look forward to you preaching every week." Because I think it'll bring some continuity to the church to have a sermon by our pastor every week. But that doesn't mean we don't get a chance to preach periodically, because he's going to be gone every fifth, or the months that will be every fifth Sabbath. And he will be gone on his vacation, so we will have opportunities to speak. Being that said, I'm going to give the sermon that will make you want your pastor back. Anyway, also, I want to tell you, my sermon today is Sacrifice 1. That means this is a continuation. I want to tell you my motto on sacrificing. The Lord never asks us to make a sacrifice without offering us something better. Did you get that? The Lord never asks us to make a sacrifice without offering us something better. Also, the Bible has a lot to say about sacrifices. And first and foremost, Jesus is the supreme sacrifice. He was given that we might be saved and redeemed. Amen? A real sacrifice costs something. This is illustrated in the story of Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verses 13 through 22. This story has a lot of impact in it and a lot of to glean out of it. I'll read it from 1 Samuel 15, verses 13. Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the command of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is the meaning of the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." Do you think he said, "Just be quiet"? So Samuel said, "And when you were little in your own eyes and were not heard of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.'" This will come back to haunt them when Esther is queen. "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone on the mission and brought the Lord on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best of things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." So Samuel said, "Has the Lord at great delight in burning offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams." Is it a sacrifice if I take something from you and give it as my offering? No. A sacrifice, if it does not cost you anything, is not a sacrifice. Here Saul is giving the plunder of the Amalekites as a sacrifice to the Lord. Also, what other message is Samuel saying? It is better to obey the God than to offer even a legitimate sacrifice. You see, God is saying, all I want from you is obedience. You cannot bribe God. And 2 Samuel 24:24 says, then King David said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. A sacrifice costs something. You feel it when you give it. Did you know what happened to the land that David bought here? This is the land that King Solomon built the temple on. A real sacrifice may cost a Christian their security. How do you like to lose your security? We may have to sacrifice our own security to follow Christ. If you want to be a Christian, you need to live to learn by faith. If you are in God's will, that is the most secure place to be. I'll repeat that. If you are in God's will, that is the most secure place to be. C.S. Lewis said, to love at all is to be vulnerable. To love anything, your heart will most certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure you keep your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it up carefully. Avoid all entanglements. Wrap it up carefully in the casket of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, it will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can perfectly be safe from all dangers of love is hell. If you want to be a Christian, you have to sacrifice your security that you are never going to be hurt, are never going to be wounded, and will never be persecuted. You need to lay it all on the altar. If you want to be a Christian, you need to sacrifice your time. You need to be able to give time to God. When we want to build a relationship with God, time is really not a sacrifice, is it? I want to tell you a story about a man named Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer was a very talented musician. He did a lot of composing of complicated music, and he became under great conviction at the age of 30 that he was living a very selfish life. The Lord began to speak to him, and at the age of 30 he said, "The Lord has given me a good education. I've lived a life of ease. I've had 30 years to do exactly what I wanted to do. Why not give my life to the Lord?" He made a radical change in his life and at the age of 30 entered medical school. After medical school, he went to the jungles of Africa and lived until 90 years of age serving God as a medical missionary. In his biography, he said, "I'm going to give my life for God, and that means I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to give God my time." And God honored him with a long life. Now that's a real sacrifice. To be a Christian, you must give a sacrifice of praise. Hosea 14:1-2 says, "O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. say to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. If sacrifice means doing something that doesn't come naturally, giving something up, spending our time verbalizing, talking about God's greatness, that is a sacrifice of praise. The Bible tells us that you can experience victory when you do that. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22 says, the children of Israel were being, or tells us, the children of Israel were being attacked by, on all sides by their enemies, Edom, Moab, and Ammon. They were surrounded. How did they get their victory? The Bible says that when they begin to sing, they put the priests on the forefront of the battle. When they begin to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord rose ambushes against the people of Edom, Moab, and Ammon, and they defeated them even without raising a weapon. What did they do? They offered the sacrifice of praise, and God gave them the victory. Sometimes when the enemy comes in on you and you are being oppressed and attacked, you know you can choose to offer God the sacrifice of praise. Start thanking him for his blessings. Start praising him for all the good, and by that, start singing praises to him. You start singing a positive, uplifting song, and it begins to transform your attitude. And that is the sacrifice of praise to God. And when you offer this kind of sacrifice, you get a positive result. Try it. You'll like it, even if it doesn't seem natural. As you offer the sacrifice of praise to the Lord draws near to you. That is the benefit. The Lord is with you. Who can defeat you? It is no sacrifice to give what you cannot keep, to gain what you cannot lose. When you give your life to the Lord, you cannot keep it. Jesus said, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake and the gospel, he will save it. Jesus said that in Luke 9:24. And he says it again in Luke 17:33, and again in Matthew 10:39, and again in Mark 8:35, and again in John 12:25. Read them all, because he says that five times in the Gospels. That must be pretty important. He who seeks to save his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for Jesus' sake in the gospel, he will save it. What is the best sacrifice? Malachi 1:8 says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame or the sick, is it not evil? What was the Lord's command regarding offerings of lambs and goats? What was the qualification of the offerings that were to be presented to the Lord? Without blemish, flawless, faultless. But what had the children of Israel begun to do? They would bring their offering to the temple and say, well, they are not going to kill, they're going to kill it. Why take the healthiest and the best when I have a sick one here? I know it's missing one eye, and it's kind of gimpy, and it's limping along, and it's half dead because it's old, but it's going to die anyway. I mean, after all, it's going to the church. So they forgot the command about offering the lambs and goats flawless and they started giving the Lord the lame offerings and the blind offerings. We do to God what we wouldn't do to others. Have you thought about that? Do you know that when I went to India, I took all my old ties. I took all my old shirts. Barb remembers that. I took all the other old clothes I didn't want anymore and gave them away as a sacrifice. I think the Lord was talking about me in Malachi 1:8. Anyway, my conscience, who is named Barb, even told me that. God is the exalted King of the universe, and I gave him the lame leftovers. She's even said, why don't you take that nice pair of pants you just bought? Have you heard about Sir Walter Raleigh, who was one day walking with Queen Victoria, and they came to a muddy spot on the trail, and he took off his scarlet robe and laid it down in the mud so the Queen could step on it with her expensive nice shoes, lest she soil her shoes. How many have heard this story or seen the pictures drawn of it? Most of us have. Someone said, a sacrifice made to royalty is never really a sacrifice. That would be true of the King of the universe, amen? And sometimes when it comes to our time and means, we just tip the Lord. Sometimes we tip the waitress better than we tip the Lord on Sabbath, and we are giving him a lame sacrifice. A real sacrifice is something that hurts. I have been convicted that I am selfish, and I admit that. Many of you may have a problem with that, but I know I am. I wrestle with that, and if you don't believe me, ask Barb. Barb wanted to know if she's in the sermon today. It's so easy to be selfish. All you have to do is do what comes natural. Just think about yourself. You can't get away from yourself, so it's easy to think about yourself. You go to sleep with yourself. You dream about yourself. You wake with yourself. And you even shower with yourself. No wonder we're wrapped up in ourselves. Have you ever heard of the Empire Penguin? It's the largest of the penguins. They made a movie on the Empire Penguin, and it was very good. The female, during the coldest time of the year, lays one egg and then gives it to the male. He jostles it up on his feet and puts his belly over it to keep it warm. He stands there and incubates the egg for 3 months without eating anything. Talk about inconvenience. Now that is a sacrifice, amen? Why do they do that? Because that is the only way there's going to be new life. And sometimes it requires us to sacrifice our convenience so that others might have life and life eternal. Winning souls requires a sacrifice. If you want to be a Christian, you have to sacrifice your means. I heard about a hiker that was very, very thirsty. When he went through the woods, he had run out of water. And he came to an old deserted hunting cabin, and there was a hand pump there. And by this hand pump, there was this glass jug full of water. And he got ready to drink the water, but on the jug, it said this water was for priming the pump. Well, he tried to pump the pump, and there was no water. He pumped it several times, and nothing came out. He had to make a decision. Do I drink the water that is in the jug? It was warm and tepid. Or do I pour it away what is in the jug and hope there is something going to come out of the pump? That was a tough decision, and he decided to trust that was the priming water for the pump, and he poured it down the pump and began to pump. And pretty soon, clean, cold, clear water began to come out of the pump in all the abundance he could want. He drank to the full. He filled his canteen, and he even filled the jug up. Then he scribbled on the bottom of the note that said, for priming the pump, trust me, it really works. When you're thirsty and don't get a chance to get water, that was a gamble. We often forget that the offerings we give as a Christian come back. That is a Bible promise. The Bible says, cast your bread upon the water and it will return, Ecclesiastes 11:1. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap, for the amount you give will be measured back to you. Did you hear that? The amount you give will be measured back to you, Luke 6:38. Have you ever shook it to make more room in a container? Have you ever poured too much that it spills over? I do that all the time, and it really frustrates Barb. So she got me a bigger bowl. And you won't believe it, but it still happens. It is a principle of life, and what goes around comes around. A lot of us give, but we don't give sacrificially. Do you know what the difference there is? The widow who put in her last mite gave sacrificially. This is found in Luke 21, verses 1 to 4, and Mark 12, verses 41 to 44. It wasn't the amount of money. God owns everything already. Amen? It was the amount of sacrifice that caused Jesus to draw attention to it. A sacrifice is when you were going to give the money for something and instead gave it to the Lord. You are putting your treasure in heaven. Most of the time when we give, we go home to the same home. We go home in the same car. We wear the same clothes, sleep in the same bed, and even with the same pillow, and even eat the same food. We don't feel emptiness. Sacrifice is when you give something and you feel it. Sacrifice should also be a willing sacrifice. During World War I, a French soldier had been wounded, and the surgeon had to remove his arm. When he woke up, the surgeon wanted to be by his side so he could tell him of the tragic news that he lost his right arm. Here is this young man in the prime of his life. He lost his right arm, and he's even right-handed. And when he woke up and regained consciousness, the surgeon said to him, I am so sorry, but you lost your arm. And without even missing a beat, the French soldier said, not so. I did not lose my arm. I gave my arm for France. And sometimes sacrifices are very hard because we feel like the thing is ripped from our hands by the Lord. Jesus did not have his life taken. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. That is why he is a sacrifice. He gave his life. God so loved the world that he gave his son. Sometimes we think he was caught off guard and was executed. No, he gave his life that we may have eternal life. Jesus, it was a willing sacrifice. Are you not glad for the willing sacrifice that God gave and Jesus gave for you and me? I want to pray that we will be like Jesus and be willing in my sacrifices. I want to conclude this with a story that I read a while back from the National Geographic. It's a story about wildfires. And since we lived in the Northwest where there's a lot of wildfires, forest fires, it interested me. And in this story, this ranger was going up to survey this fire that he had seen, or that just had swept through there a few days ago or a couple days ago. And as he's walking along, looking at stuff, surveying the damage, he saw this chunk of feathers. And he couldn't even identify what kind of bird it was. And he walked over with his steel boot and kicked at it. And out from underneath the chunk of feathers came two quail, baby quail. The mother could have flown off and got away where it was safe, but he didn't. Psalms 91:4 says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." Luke 31:34 says, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Let's don't waste Jesus' supreme sacrifice that he gave us. Let's go under his wings where we are safe and where we will find refuge. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we come to you accepting your supreme sacrifice that you gave of your life that we can have eternal life. We want to be able to tell others about this sacrifice you gave and be willing to give our time, our money, words of praise for you, because it's not about us, it's all about you. Give us the courage to give the sacrifices that we need so that others may find your love and what you did for them. In thy holy name, amen.